All right, 3-1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. And, of course, the greatest, most godly man that ever lived needed prayer, and he never hesitated to ask for it. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Needed. Finally, brethren, pray for us. What are you to pray for? That the word of the Lord may have free course, get through the word, and be glorified. The word be glorified. The word be glorified. Yeah. The word. So you want to give glory to the Lord. No, you give it to his word, too. The Bible says in the book of Acts, the word of the Lord was magnified. The word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. He's glorified in them. All right, next prayer. Pray, first of all, the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Next thing, pray this. Pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And Bob Jones, Sr. used to say, good men are always reasonable. A good man, you can reason with him. Sit down and talk things over. You may not agree when you get through. You may think he's wrong when you get through. He may think you're wrong. But a good man you can talk with, see, back and forth. He can interrupt you. Whenever I talk with these people that before I've said two things, I know they're bad people. They're bad people. Do you ever notice in talking with a Campbellite or a Jehovah's Witness how often that happens? Especially the Church of Christ. Do you ever notice that? You can't talk 3 words. That fellow opened his mouth and shooting off his mouth. And I used to try to reason with them. I used to stand and talk with them and be patient, you know, but I lost patience after about 5 years. And now when I talk to those fellows, I say, now I'll tell you what, when I get through talking, you talk. And when you talk, I'll keep my mouth shut and be a gentleman. And I won't talk till it's my turn. And when I talk, you be gentle enough to keep your mouth shut till I get through. And if you can't be as good a gentleman as I am, you're in pretty rough shape. Amen, though. I hope that amen was said in the spirit of love. Down there in Panama City, Brother Bob Gray got to preaching on. Before he got up to preach, Brother Hugh Pyle said, now tonight we're going to contact the steakhouse and all these places having to stay open the extra, you know, late up to around 11 o'clock at night. And, of course, his time was only 8 to 9, but they had him still open to 11. And, you know, Buddy laughed, you know, and Brother Gray got up to preach, you know, he got a good sense of humor too, you know, he got up and he said, stay open till 11 o'clock. He said, I never heard such blasphemy, you know. And he was short-winded that night. But anyway, when you talk with these fellows, yeah, he only went an hour and 15 minutes. That's short. And, no, I'm not complaining. I mean, you run 2 hours, me, don't bother me any. Don't bother me a bit. And what was I going to say? Oh, when you talk to these fellows, you have to tell them, now you shut up till I get through, and when I get through, you talk. And those fellows may argue, have you ever noticed as soon as you give them the floor, they ask you a question? They have nothing to say. They ask you a question, and then when you start to answer, they interrupt you. See? And you fellows saw a while ago, I think some were in this class one night, I told the fellow, okay, now talk. And he shows the guy had no message. He was speechless, see? And they're not good men are reasonable, see? Good men, you can talk things back and forth, and they're not going to interrupt you and cut in and stop and just blow the top without hearing something. And I suppose the same thing holds for women, I don't know. It says unreasonable and wicked men. Maybe that Greek is men and women. But if your heart's right with the Lord, now, if you're in fellowship with God, you may get upset at times and be unreasonable about, you know, attitudes toward certain things. But if he's talking about here the Word of God, see, preaching and teaching. And when you get next to somebody you disagree with or don't get along with, you can sit down at the same table with them for 15 minutes to 30 minutes and talk the thing over without tearing up your whole day or wrecking your whole life. And if you can't, there's something wrong with you. And I don't... You say, well, that person did that. And you're the problem. And Bob Jones used to say that. He used to say, no doubt the trouble is with you. And he'd say it this way. He'd say, when you find yourself getting this way and that and so forth and so on, he said, you ought to sit down in the corner and say, no doubt the trouble is with me.
Amen.
And it may not always be with you, but good men are reasonable. I mean, they'll talk and think, and they may argue, but they're not just going to cut the thing off like that and don't hear them about it.
Now, that's not that kind of business.
No. That response to somebody's not right. Appreciate those amen, brother, but it wasn't a whole lot. Like about 20 of you. All right, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful. Well, we're not always faithful. But the Lord is faithful. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that he both do present and will do future the things which we command you. That's like that tradition you're talking about. It is like command. Yes.
Could you tell me all men have not faith?
Well, you could read it. All men are not saved and don't have the faith. But, of course, the article's not there. And as it stands, it simply is all men have not faith. And not faith in verse 1, faith in the word of the Lord. And faith to believe what they're going to preach. Now, it could be Christian, some of them.
You're trying to reconcile that verse that says the measure of faith is given
every man. Yeah. Well, how would you say that, then? Since the measure of faith is given to every Christian, this has to be unsaved. Because they have not faith. Is that what you mean?
Every man
where you quoted it would have to be a Christian. Now, where you're quoting, he's back in Romans. Romans 12, I think. Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God dealt to every man the measure of faith. And that is Christians. So he says in 3, I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself. And 12:1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God. So it's probably unsaved. But it might be some saved fellow that didn't have faith. All right, 3, but the Lord is faithful. Who shall establish you, get you in the word, root you, ground you, and keep you from evil, act as a guard against doing something wrong. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that he'll do what he said he'd do in 3. And we have confidence touching you, not just confidence in the Lord, but in you, that you both do and will do the thing which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts, guide them, aim them that way. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. That is, the Lord make turn your hearts so to love him more. Direct your hearts into the love of God, make you love him more than you do. And the Lord direct your hearts, the second place, into the patient waiting for Christ. That's his prayer for them. He said, oh, Lord, I want to have you take the heart and turn it to love God more and make them more patient and make them wait for Christ. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother, another Christian, that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. Then this particular tradition he names. He says in verse 7, yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, like I've talked to you about, follow Paul. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, for nothing, but wrought with labor, work, and travail, sweat and labor. Night and day, not just 8-hour day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have not power, he could have, the Lord hath ordained that they that preach the gospel shall live with the gospel, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us, trying to teach the Thessalonians how to work. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly. And that's what he meant by saying what he said. A disorderly brother in 2 Thessalonians is one that doesn't work at all, but is a busybody. And that's where we get the expression from. And we usually use it about women. You hardly ever hear a fellow say that fellow's a busybody. But you would say so-and-so, she's an old busybody. And yet where it's given to any Thessalonian, a Thessalonican, male or female, busybody. And the thing is, about most people don't have a lot to do, they seem to have an awful lot of time to stick a nose in other people's business, as a general rule. And some of the brethren, I marvel at them, how much information they can get together. And I've watched some of the brethren through the year, that's the truth, but I marvel sometimes at how many people they can work on in a day. I've known Christians that just go over here and pull this guy on something he's going to do 5 weeks later and
over here and get this one set up for something this guy's going to do with this guy 10 weeks later, and then over here, and then set this guy up so we'll cooperate with these two guys, and this guy coming through. And I watched that thing and marveled. I said to myself, where in the world did they get time to do that? Man, ain't that many hours in a day, man. How in the world do you get time to go around and work on people? And pay this little call over here and get them set up, and then pay this little call over here. I'll say, if I ever come to your house for dinner, any of you, I will have you know something before I come in the door. And I'll tell you right now, when I come to your house to sit down at your dinner table, I don't come in to work on you and set you up for nothing. Did you know that? I'm coming there to enjoy the food. And the fellowship. But I don't have any political motive when I come in there, man, and I don't want one either. But I know some of God's people, they must have a 30-hour day with all the stuff they do. I don't know, man. If I had that much time, I'd go fishing. Yeah.
Yesterday, earlier today, I come by our telephone exchange, and one of the engineers in there, a guy that I know, talked with laser, doesn't work out there, but I thought I recognized her. So I see him later at lunch, and I asked him who that lady was in there, and he gave me her name, the mother in law Lawson. And doesn't go to this church anymore. And I said, who was that? And he gave me her name. I said, yeah, I know, but she used to go to my church. He said, yeah, I know. And he expounded this whole thing to me. She just got through explaining to him out there the church breakup we had way back when.
Oh, yeah, that's common conversation. I was in the post office the other night, and one of the young people in this church overheard two people talk when I came in and went out. And after I got out, these young person said, I could have hit that one on the head, you know. And I said, what's the matter? She said, well, when you came in and went out, she said, one of the ladies said there, that's a kind of an odd-looking fella, isn't it? And the other one said, yeah, that's a preacher. And he said, oh, is that preacher over at Brent? The other one said, yeah, that's that preacher split that church up over. Split that church up. You know, some of you got not gonna like what I'm going to say. But I'll tell you the darn truth. I actually was sorry to see a lot of those people go. I really was. Some of the good people loved the Lord, and I didn't want them to go.
Right.
And some of the first bunch that left, I wasn't happy about seeing them leave. You know, I've always been kind of soft-hearted about Christians, because my background was anything but Christian. And when I came in this church over here, it was a white building right next to the brick building. The little white building's gone now. And when this building burned down, they didn't even touch that one over there. And when I was in that building over there and preached my first message there after I'd been saved for 2 years, I went back to the back to pray, and nobody was back there but old man McLeod. When I came out of that prayer room all tore up and all burdened, worrying about people getting saved and things, that old man put his arm around me out there in the hall and had prayer with me. I never have forgotten that. Some say, oh, he's a preacher killer and tears churches up and all this and that. Yeah, and that's a good sign too, see. And I tell you, when I came back to Brent and saw Brother Jim Sauer had gone, and the old Gunderson over here, he'd gone, I was just all tore up. I really was. I mean, when I got saved, that was my family I got into, see. And I thought, boy, when I come back, all the family would be together. Good. Boy, was I ignorant. And I mean, some over here in Woodlawn, some out here at some place that busted off Woodlawn, some went back to Central, and some went over to East Hill, and some went out there and set up faith, you know. I didn't want to see those people go. I'm not in favor of it, but they go. All right, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 11, busybody. And a busybody is somebody that doesn't have enough to do. So if in that strain, the man who's busy is the man who doesn't have anything to do, busybody. And so if you all got nothing to do, see Brother Bowden or see Brother Mitchell or see one of the other trustees and we'll get you something to do. And so you won't have to be a busybody. All right, 11, for we hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Working not at all, welfare. We hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all. Now, you know what? The Lord almost takes for granted it can't be a woman. I mean, the average housewife, she's not a busybody, average housewife. I mean, with children. Man, you got children. You got work. You got work to do. Because that telephone makes it convenient. That telephone. That's a damnable invention. And they're getting ready to put on, they're getting ready to put television on them, I think.
Yeah,
when you phone some of you, see what you're phoning at, you know. I wouldn't have one of those in my house anymore than a regular one, but not even much. You like that rush from the shower to the phone? Tripping over the toys and banging the doors. And then, hello. Oh, well, we're over time. We're going to skip. All right, let's start verse 11. We hear there are some which walk among you disorderly, working out at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort. Command, do it, and exhort, please do it. God give you grace to do it. By our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness, they, quietness, some of the busybodies are talking. Quietness, quietness. The Greek is very strong, it means shut up. only kidding. That with quietness, they work and eat their own bread instead of somebody else's. Yes. Yep.
What is that implying?
All right. It's implying, well, you've got to read it. You've got to say the Lord is able. The Lord is faithful. In terms, he's able. Now, he will establish you, and he will keep you from evil. But, of course, there's other conditions on that other places if you're talking about every kind of sin. Now, if you're talking about getting home to heaven, the Lord is faithful, and he will establish you, and he will keep you from evil no matter what you do, in the sense of getting home to heaven. But the sense of practical Christian living is just the Lord is faithful. And if you want to be established and you want to be kept from evil, he'll do it. Because we're not saying that he'll do it against your will. That's reading too much into it. All right, let's take a break.